Well, good morning, friends, and welcome to Good Morning Live, our Thursday edition. I pray that you are having a good morning so far, and welcome back. Now, this is your first time joining us on Good Morning Live. We love to open up the Word of God together and see what it would speak to us and start our day and our journeys together for the day. With a solid foundation in the Word of God. So thanks for hopping on and joining me. Now, if you are watching on one of the platforms that you can like, comment, share, subscribe, all of those things, do those things. We've been calling that our digital missionaries by sharing our live stream and getting it out to as many people as we can certainly help spread the message forward. So anyway, we started in on a journey yesterday talking about blessed are the spiraling. And this comes from Levi Lusko's book off the same title, Levi, Blessed Are the Spiraling. I came across this book and I absolutely loved it. So I thought I want to take a few days this week and dive into it and bring some encouraging messages out from it. And we do want to offer you this book. So if you want to order this book, you can text the word blessed to 717-500-3575. And for your gift of $25, we will get the book out to you. Now, I do like to say up front, you can find the book cheaper on Amazon. The difference between that price and what we charge as a love offering for it goes to support the ministry. But if you are on a budget, just order it from Amazon. But if you want to order it through us, you can text blessed to 717-500-3575. 500-3575. Geez, 8 a.m. and it's early. Anybody else have trouble getting started today like I did? Like one of those mornings where I'm like, the thought of putting my socks on, it feels like too much work. But nevertheless, here we are. So thanks for being on with me today. Comment, let me know. Hey, Charles, good to see you. Thanks for watching from Syracuse. Good morning, Lindsay. Good to be on with you. Good morning, Beth. Good morning, Shane. Or Sean, sorry. Good to see you all this morning. So we've been taking, like I said, some messages from this book, Blessed Are the Spiraling. I encourage you to get the book. It's a great book. And so yesterday we talked about digging for treasure in the dirt. And we used the illustration, the parable of the man that bought a field and found treasure in the dirt. And we realize that sometimes in our lives, if we find ourselves on a dirt field or we find ourselves in a place where it seems barren and desolate and just dirt all around us, that there's a silver lining in there somewhere. And so if we better start digging, right? So in every situation of our life, whenever we're spiraling, whatever's going on in our world, we look hard enough, we can find the hand of God and we can find the treasure in there somewhere. But today I want to talk to you about self-inflicted spiraling. Self-inflicted spiraling. Now, I want to say this is kind of a pet peeve of mine, but something that I whenever I'm preaching, if we're along these lines at all, spiritual warfare and attacks of the enemy, I love to bring this in because if you were like me, raised in the church in the 80s and 90s, and I was raised in a very prophetic church, and you know there was demons around every corner, and everything was the devil, and just kind of raised that way. And I saw in so many other people's lives, and I found myself doing it in my life as well, that every single thing that was happening wrong to me was an attack of the devil, and the devil made me do it. It was a demon, you know, all of these things. And really what was happening is nobody was taking responsibility for their own actions and the things that they just got themselves into. And so they just blame it on the devil. But the error in that is if you don't ever take responsibility for what you did yourself, you will never grow beyond it. And you're continually go around the same mountain again because nobody's taking responsibility and saying, yep, I did it. It was a bad decision. I'm going to correct it. And we're going to move forward from this, right? So as long as you kind of just stay in that cycle, it's the devil, it's the devil, it's everybody else, it's the devil, you're never going to grow and you're never going to walk out of the season that you've been stuck in. So whenever I talk about spiritual warfare, whenever I talk about, coming against the adversary, I always like to throw in something along these lines of just double checking. Because yes, we do have an adversary. Yes, he seeks to devour who he can. Yes, he throws stuff into our life. Yes, he will attack us. All of that is 100% true. But a lot of the time, what we are experiencing in our life is not a result of an attack of the devil. It's a result from decisions that we made somewhere along the way that were bad decisions. And now we are reaping the fruit of those bad decisions in our life. And again, as long as we keep pushing it off as the devil, somebody else made me do it, we're going to continually stay in a cycle of never moving beyond it, never growing, because, well, it's just everybody else's fault. But the moment we can stop and say, you know what? I don't know that this was my mama's fault. I don't know that this was my third grade teacher's fault. I don't, you know, all the trauma that we attach to other people, this was a result. I knew better. I made the bad decision. Now I'm sowing what I reaped is the end of it. And when you can recognize that, I believe that's when God gets involved and says, okay, I'm going to help you walk out of this because you're taking responsibility, but also it's going to help you never repeat the same thing again and again and again, right? Like we've all met somebody who's, you know, left 12 jobs within the last year. And every single time it was a boss, it was a coworker, the company didn't honor them. It's everybody else. It's somebody else, right? Like, you know, they left 12 churches and, you know, it's every pastor, every church is wrong. They've got it right. And at some point it's like, you want to shake them and say, what's the common denominator here? It's not everybody else. It's you. And until people get victory in that, they will forever be just spiraling in life, spiraling from one job to another, spiraling from one church to another, spiraling from one relationship to another. Why? Because they never got victory over what they sowed into the relationship or what they brought into the relationship that caused it to spiral out of control. And so instead of taking responsibility, we blame. So that's why I love today's topic, self-inflicted spiraling, because sometimes we're spiraling because of something that was out of our control. We got a bad doctor's report. We, something that happened that was totally out of the left field that the enemy brought into our life, and it's caused us to spiral. That's one thing. But there's also something called self-inflicted spiraling, where we made the decisions, we put ourselves in the situation, and it's caused our life to spiral out of control. So let me read this scripture to you in Hosea 8:7. And I love this because I never saw this until I was reading Levi Lusco's book. But it says, they sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. They sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. That's Hosea 8:7. I got to read that one more time. They sow the wind and they reap the whirlwind. There's a quote that I heard a while back. It says, how am I complicit in creating the conditions I say I don't want in my life? How am I complicit in creating the conditions I say I don't want in my life? I think until we answer that question, there are going to be areas of our life that we will continue to spiral out of control. Because listen, you know, we stand on the scripture, Hosea 1:9, that says the affliction shall not return a second time. I believe in faith, when the enemy attacks and you get victory over it, you can stand on that scripture that says this affliction will not return a second time. But often we see the affliction returning, but I believe that's often a sign that it's not even an attack of the enemy. It's the conditions that you have created in your life. And you're like, well, it's a health thing. Well, is the health thing a response to the conditions that you've created in your life, right? So how are we complicit in creating the conditions that we say we don't want in our life? That's a big soul-searching question, just as much as Jesus's question in John 5:6, where he asked, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well? Do you remember we talked about that a few months ago, about the man in the Pool of Bethesda, you know, on his mat, and Jesus asked him, Do you want to be made well? He had been there for, you know, years and years and years, decades, really. And he asked this man, do you want to be made well? Well, that's a weird question, Jesus. Of course he wants to be made well. But the reality was the man was in the condition he was in because eventually he got comfortable. He started blaming everybody else that, well, I have no one to get me to the edge of the waters. I have no one to get me there. You know, again, he wasn't taking responsibility. Man, if you had one opportunity, I'd be hanging over that pool with my toe right at the edge of that water 24/7. Right. It happened once a year. So you only, the most you can have is a year. I'd be hanging there. But no, he blamed everybody else. So Jesus sometimes asks us the question, do you want to be made well? This isn't about your mama. This isn't about the devil. This isn't about your boss. This isn't about your pastor. Do you want to be made well? Are you complicit in creating the conditions you say you do not want in your life? Again, I understand some spirals in life are unavoidable. Grief, loss, change. But some are self-inflicted. I heard somebody say this years ago, and I loved it because I think I had a habit of doing this. He said, the devil didn't attack your life. He said, you created a life you couldn't sustain, and the only way out was for you to blow the whole thing up. I thought about that, and I thought, yep, that's about me. That's about me, right? And so sometimes we create lives that we can't sustain, and we do things that we can't sustain, and we paint images that we can't sustain, and the only way to get out of it is to blow the whole thing up, right? So some spiraling is self-inflicted. It's the product, to listen to this, of our own decisions. So I want to talk today about that second kind of storm. A look at how our choices, maybe our pace in life, maybe our self-perception of how we see ourselves and the identity that we give ourselves, how all of those things can fuel the chaos that we say we hate. Man, we say, I hate the chaos. I just want a peace life. I want a peaceable life. I just want calm. I want the drama gone. But yet we keep repeating the cycle of creating drama or bringing drama-filled people into our world. You don't want free from the drama. You're addicted to the drama. And when we really get to the place where we say, you know what, I've been complicit in creating the drama in my life, that's when things can change. So Hosea 8:7 says, they sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. In the spirit realm, sowing and reaping, the laws that govern sowing and reaping are unavoidable. Actually, the scripture says that, will God be mocked? Mocked about what? It says, what a man sows, he will reap. And I love that. It says, will God be mocked? What a man sows, he will reap. It's like, it's saying, do you really think that God will not apply the laws of sowing to reaping into your world? Like that you are greater than God, that the laws that he put into motion will not work in your life? But listen, he won't be mocked. Whatever you sow is whatever you reap. That's what Hosea is talking about the Israelites right now, about Israel. He's saying they sow the wind, and guess what they reap? The whirlwind. They've sown the wind, and then they're surprised when they're reaping the whirlwind. I don't want you to paint this message this morning and think, oh, well, yeah, my sister needs to hear this. And, you know, my husband or my spouse needs to hear this. Good morning, Haley. Good morning, Paula. No, I want you, this is messages about you and doing self-evaluation about self-inflicted spiraling, right? It says they sow the wind and they reap the whirlwind. Listen, what a man sows, he will reap. God will not be mocked. Whatever you are sowing in life is exactly what you will reap. When we sow chaos, when we sow compromise, when we sow busyness, God's never called you to be overly busy. Come on, when we sow busyness, when we sow, listen, unprocessed pain, we reap its return. We reap its return. Why? What is reaping? Reaping is multiplication. You never get back exactly what you plant. You get more of it. Give and it. What is it? Whatever you gave shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Well, that's a law. That's a principle. And I know we like to say it in, you know, things of our money. I put $10 in the plate. It's going to be pressed down, shaken together, running over. I'm going to get a harvest of that $10. Well, I believe that, you know, that applies to your finances, but it also applies to your attitude. Come on, you've been miserable. You've been cranky. You've been biting people's heads off. You've been just irritable. And then you're wondering why everybody's cutting you off in traffic, why the lady at the bank is rude to you, why things aren't going well for you. Listen, because what a man sows, he will reap. You've been sowing a bad attitude, and you are going to reap a bad attitude from other people, pressed down, shaken together. Men will give into you, into your bosom, right? Like these, this is the law of God. So reaping is multiplication. We never get back exactly what you plant. Again, we love these principles when it comes to the positive. Well, I bless somebody with some clothing. So I'm waiting. I'm gonna reap what God has for me. That's good. But the same law also applies in the negative. It also applies, listen, if you have unprocessed pain in your life that you've buried, listen, what buried doesn't stay buried is planted. It's sown. And unprocessed pain will always come back into your life and cause chaos and reap destruction. And now you don't know why you're having these issues. You don't know why you're not connecting. You don't know why relationships are struggling. And it's because you have unprocessed pain. You've been sowing busyness. Well, God says, listen, I've called you from the foundations of the world. I've set a pattern for Sabbath. I've set a pattern for rest. I set a pattern to stop your work, stop your labor, back up, pause for a minute, breathe in, breathe out. But we're just busy, 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 busy. We think we're more important because we're busy. We think we're more productive because we're busy. We attach all these things to our busyness. Our identity is in our busyness. Oh, he's important because he's busy. And then suddenly, when we're reaping families that are disconnected and, you know, struggling relationally, well, why, God? Well, because we've sown busyness. When we're stressed out and full of anxiety and you know, we don't know how to just take a reprieve. Why? Because we've sown busyness. When our bodies are collapsing under the weight of our schedule and our patterns, and we have migraines and anxiety and all kinds of health issues going on. Well, look what the devil's doing. No, it's because you've sown busyness and you are reaping the harvest of what you have sown. So rebuke the devil all you want. The devil didn't do it. What you need to rebuke is your schedule. What you need to do is start calling some people saying, I can't do it anymore. I got to make my priorities my priorities. I'm sorry. I love your effort. I love what you're doing. I love the mission. I can't. Now I'm going to start sowing a right schedule, and I'm going to start sowing Sabbath, and I'm going to start sowing rest. And I'm going to begin to reap the benefits and the harvest of that back into my body, my mind, my family, my relationships. I'm not walking into the room frazzled and tore up and full of anxiety and just bringing a bad energy and into the space. I'm walking in full of faith and calm. Like I want to be that person who walks in, if there's just that confidence in them, there's a peace in them. I want my kids to come into our home. Sarah's so good at that, of always saying, no, our home is our temple. Our home is our safe place. They're not coming in here if they're bringing that drama. Why? Because we're called to create that safe place for our children where it's not screaming and yelling, but it's and full of drama and chaos. Now, again, you add four kids to the equation. That's going to be some screaming and yelling. I don't want you to think we're living in some kind of peace bubble. But she's very good. Sarah's very good at guarding over. They're full of drama. They're not coming up in here. Why? Because we are protecting that environment. We're protecting our peace. What you sow, you will reap. I dare say that what you are living in today is a result of what you have sown yesterday. Are you full of fear? Is your life full of drama? Are your finances out of control? Is your health out of control? Listen, some things may have come into your world because the devil threw them at you. But I think a moment of self-evaluation and discovering, is this here because I've sown this, will produce more for you than rebuking the devil, binding the enemy. And there's a time and a place. Don't hear me. Don't get me wrong. There's a time and a place for that. But let's just be real. I got here because of my eating habits. I'm preaching to me now, right? I got here because of what I chose to do. I got here because of you know, how I handled the relationship. Let's just be real, right? So sometimes we have to, the wisest thing that we can do is realize that we're not under attack. It's so easy to play victim, to tell everybody, oh, this is happening. You know, the devil's after me. I'm under attack. Like, I heard somebody say back during the COVID days, it was a preacher and he was preaching and he had gotten preaching real strong against COVID. And I'm not here to open up that debate on COVID and all of that stuff. Please save your comments. But anyway, it was during the height of COVID and this gentleman was preaching and he was saying that, you know, preaching against COVID's not real, COVID's not real, and, you know, whatever. And ended up getting COVID and was in the hospital and had it pretty severely. And he came out and survived, thankfully. And I was very interested to see what he would preach to his church that Sunday. And the message that he gave to his church was that, well, he didn't have regular COVID. He had a specific kind of COVID that the common people didn't get. And it was most likely somehow probably pushed through from the government, you know, because they were standing strong politically against, you know, the Democratic Party, and they were earmarked. So, and I'm just like listening, like, buddy, just acknowledge you got COVID. Just acknowledge you got it. Just, you know, I it's just because sometimes, again, you're watching from the outside and it's like, so it's easier to say, well, no, this wasn't like the regular COVID. This was something. And, you know, and they weren't on the forefront of, you know, Christian media. They weren't on the forefront of, you know, the world knew who they were. Like, you know, they were pastoring a little church out in the country that, I'm sorry, I didn't think the government's watching. I just don't. But maybe I'm wrong. But anyway, I'm saying that to say is it is so easy and it's so convenient to play victim. I'm under attack. I didn't get COVID, well, because I touched something or I came around somebody who had the virus and I got COVID and it happened, right? Like, no, I've been under attack. And this is a special kind of COVID that was sent by the government that somehow they got it into me, or, you know, listen, you got COVID because of the weight of your own decisions, right? Like, you went out of the house, you didn't wash your hands. And again, I'm not here to preach about COVID. What I'm saying is that the easiest thing for people to do is to play the victim. But the greatest thing for somebody to do is self-evaluation and to say, is this self-inflicted? Is this spiraling in my life right now a result of decisions that I made? And if it is, it's not spiritual warfare. It's dumb decisions that I made. And the beauty of that is I don't got to rebuke anybody. I don't got to do spiritual warfare. I don't got to quote 50 scriptures. I don't got to fast. I don't got to do any of that. I just have to repent before God for making the wrong decisions. He says, if we call unto him, he will draw near to us. He doesn't care about how we got into the situation. He wants to get us out to the situation. I remember hearing this, I preach this so many times, but the woman with the issue of blood, you know, some historians kind of just surveyed what diseases they had that would cause her to have an issue of blood. And they found out that most likely it was STI, some type of sexually transmitted infection or disease that would cause her to have this. What I think is powerful about that knowledge is when she touched the hem of his garment, Jesus didn't turn around and say, well, how did you get into this? Was this your own doing? No, God don't care how you got into it. He wants to help you get out of it, right? Like he just wants to help you get out of it. So I'm saying that to say is it's not like, well, if I take ownership of this, God's not going to help me. No, God's saying, take ownership. Let's make better decisions. When you repent and you say, God, forgive me for the decisions, forgive me for what I've sown, he's not turning back and saying, well, but I know, but you did this now. Come on. No, he's saying, that's all I needed. Come on, come on. Your faith is getting you out of this thing. Your faith, I could preach a whole message about God's got you covered. How when you apply your faith, God not only forgives your sin, but he can remove the penalty of your sin as an activation of your faith, but I don't have time to go there today. So sometimes it's spiritual warfare, but sometimes the greatest, greatest, greatest thing we can do is just say, yep, this was all me. All me. I made the decision. I let that person in. I text them. I knew that relationship was wrong, but I got into it anyway. I knew that business deal. I had a check in my spirit. I knew I shouldn't have done it, but I did it anyway. And now I'm reaping the results of that decision. Father, forgive me for the mistakes. Help me get out of it. And from here on, I'm making better decisions. I'm going to listen to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to listen to that still small voice on the inside that's trying to lead and guide and direct me so my life doesn't continue to spiral. Next time, the Holy Spirit says, don't call. Don't say that. Shut your mouth. Be quiet. I'm going to listen, right? So Hosea 8, this scripture that they sowed the wind and they reaped the whirlwind. It shows that Israel's collapse here wasn't caused by their enemies. What happened? They violated the covenant. They begin to neglect the Sabbath. They return to worshiping golden calves. Their disobedience lowered God's protection. Listen, sometimes God doesn't send the storms. He just steps back and says, you violated laws. Those laws are laws of sowing and reaping. You've sown that, and now you are reaping that. And sometimes God has to step back and just let that process happen because that's a law. And sometimes he just has to let what we've built collapse under its own weight. Now, again, God's not a mean God. He's not an angry God. He's not standing up there saying, now you're going to suffer. No, he's saying, just call. Just call on me. Just call on my name. But often, instead of just repenting and calling on the name of the Lord to fix our mistakes, we're spending 12 hours rebuking the devil, and God's saying, I don't need you to rebuke the devil. He didn't do it. You did it. I'm preaching because this is good for me today, right? So how are we complicit in creating the conditions we do not want in our life? This isn't about shame and saying, well, you know, look at what you've done. This is about clarity. We have to ask ourselves sometimes, is this a spirit issue? Is this a soul issue? Is this a body issue when life is spiraling out of control? If you just approach it always from the same angle, you're going to miss it. But when you stop and say, God, is this a soul issue? Is this a spirit issue? Is this a body issue? First Thessalonians says that. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved. Your whole body, spirit, and soul be preserved. Let me give you just real quick. I mentioned them in the beginning, but I want to give you these real quick of some things that, if not dealt with in your life, will cause you to self-inflicted spiraling, will cause you to get out of control pretty quickly. Number one is unprocessed grief. Panic attacks come from unprocessed grief. Apathy, not feeling anything, can come from unprocessed grief, grief that you've never addressed. And it comes from seasons that you never properly mourned. And listen, grief, it can be about the grief, obviously, of a person or somebody who passed, but it's not just about funerals. Sometimes we've never grieved just what we have lost or who you lost or who you used to be. And, you know, the seasons of life changed and transitioned and you're not where you were anymore and you're just struggling to process all of that. Here's what you need to know. Nothing buried stays buried. Why? Burying is sowing. And when you sow that unprocessed grief and you bury it into the ground and you never fully grieve, you know, the business that ended, or you never fully grieve the person that passed, or you never fully grieve the relationship that walked out of your life, you never process that. Nothing buried stays buried. So unprocessed grief can cause self-inflicted spiraling. Number two, unsustainable pace. Man, you can't live like a tornado and be shocked when your soul starts spinning. Like, come on, man shall not live by Red Bull alone. Like the story of Elisha, when he was going off the hinges, spiraling out of control, God said, listen, you just need to eat and you need to take a nap. He just needed to rest. When's the last time you just fully rested? And I know you might say, well, I just went on a vacation with my family. If your family is anything like mine, if you are the grown-up, your vacations very rarely consist of rest. How often do we come home from our vacations and need a vacation? We need a break. Why? Because it's been intense. It's been a lot. So when I say, when's the last time you fully rested, may not mean taking another trip. It might mean just saying, you know what? I'm going to go spend a few hours in silence. I'm going to put my phone down. I'm going to turn off social media. I'm going to go walk in the woods. I'm going to go just be alone with my thoughts. You know, I challenge myself to do that sometimes. I'm a music person. If I get in the car, there's got to be music. There's got to be noise. And sometimes I hear the Holy Spirit saying, just sit inside, drive to work today in silence. Why? I'm just turning off the noise. Just in the stillness and in the quiet, we hear his voice. When's the last time you fully rested? How often do you say yes to things because of your ego and not because God told you to do it? Because we have a savior complex. And we got to try to fix everybody and everything for everybody. God never asked us to do that. And now we're living like a tornado and we're surprised when our life begins to spiral. Change your pace. Change your pace. Number three, unhealthy choices. Unhealthy choices. Some of that, I just referenced it, can be social media addiction. You want to be shocked? Go to your phone. Look at the time on your screen time report and see how long you're on your phone each day. It'll shock some of you. It'll shock you. Come on, we're saying we don't have time to pray. We don't got time to study the word of God, but you can open up your phone app and realize you've been in it for 3, 4, 5 hours today. You got time. You got time in there, right? Unhealthy choices, eating healthy, working out, those physical things. Right? Like I saw that billboard that they had, I've mentioned this before, but on Route 30 here in Lancaster, and had somebody on a exercise bike and it said fighting cancer from the inside out. And man, I thought that was so good because it's like, you know, sometimes things come out of left field, but there's some things that I can do now to help stay healthy and prevent things and to live a long godly life, right? But if we keep making unhealthy choices and our life begins to spiral out of control, again, rebuking the devil doesn't do anything. If it's not the devil, it's you. So what do you got to do? You got to rebuke yourself. You got to correct yourself. You got to be honest with yourself. And I know this isn't a popular message today, and that's all right, but this is a message we need. The message is going to help people. And number four, unnecessary pressure. Some of us live in this perfectionism, with this perfectionism mentality, this performance mentality. Like, I'm only as good as I perform. I've tied my identity to my productivity. Who am I if I stop doing what I'm doing, if I stop producing? Listen, you never do that again. Will you still be loved? God says yes. You're not called to be perfect. You're not called to perform. You're not called to, you know, our faith isn't a factory where it's like you got to put out 100, you know, pieces an hour or you're losing the job, right? Like, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to mess up. And God, all our sin at the cross was foreknowledge. All of our sin, he paid for all of our sin before we ever even sinned. It was all foreknowledge, right? So we can rest in knowing God, he already forgave me pre me even doing this. Now, we don't use that as a license to sin, but what I'm saying is he knew we weren't going to be perfect when he called us. He knew we weren't going to be 100%. but he still chose us. And then lastly, unkind words to yourself. Sometimes we are our own worst enemy. We talk to ourselves how God would never talk to us. We talk to ourselves how we would not even speak to our worst enemy. We mess up. And the words that are happening up here are terrible. You got to change how you speak to yourself. Why? Because you are speaking still to a child of God. You got to begin to see yourself through the lens of how God sees you. God loves you even when the storm is your fault. This message has the ability to somebody who struggles with this, has the ability to have somebody stop and say, yeah, you're trash. You did all this yourself. You're good for nothing. You're a failure. You're never going to change. And that's not what I'm trying to get at today. Through Christ, we are more than conquerors. Through Christ, we can do all things. You can change. You don't have to stay stuck there. God hasn't forsaken you just because the storm is your fault. He don't care how you got into it. He just loves you enough that he wants to help you get out of the thing. So begin to love yourself. It is not a bad thing to love yourself. I say this all the time. Listen, to not love yourself is like dishonoring a Picasso painting. To look at it and say, I don't like the colors, I don't like the texture. What are you doing? You're dishonoring the artist. You're saying that the artist wasn't skilled enough and wasn't good enough to create quality work. And when you look at yourself and you say, I don't like them, you're disgusting. You know, you're this, you're that. You are looking at the artist and saying, you didn't do a good enough job here. You're looking at God and saying, you weren't good enough. But I wasn't fearfully and wonderfully made. That you didn't know me from the foundations of the world. I'm a mistake. I'm a failure. No, you're not. You are his beloved. You are the apple of his eye. You are the one that he spins over with rejoicing. You're the one he left all of heaven for to come and die, to be beaten a brutal, costly death, to hang so that he could just have restored relationship with you. You're valuable. Again, God don't care how you got into it. He wants to help you get. So if your life is spiraling in any area today, relationally, financially, emotionally, physically, work, then I just submit to you, pause for a minute and ask the Lord, ask yourself, ask the Lord, did I play a part in causing the conditions in my life that I say I hate? If you can be honest, I've always said that the most powerful thing a person can have is honest self-evaluation. Like just to look at yourself and be honest with yourself. You did this and you always do this. And the moment we can start to be honest about those things is the moment God can start to get working. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for every person who's watching and listening right now. And Father, and maybe one of these areas of our life, we've been spiraling. And Lord, we've been rebuking the devil and we've been binding on earth and it just seems like none of it is working. And Lord, that very well may be because it's not the enemy. We are just simply reaping the results of what we have sown. But Father, we thank you today that your Holy Spirit is present. Your Holy Spirit is here to lead, guide, and direct us, to reveal truth to us. That, Father, if we've made bad decisions in the past, just help us repent. Just let us say sorry. But bring the clarity of those decisions into our mind, into our heart, so that we can never make them again, that we can make better decisions for a better tomorrow, better decisions for a better future. help us just take responsibility for where we've messed up. Acknowledge it, repent, and move forward. Help us get out of the spiraling that we may have caused. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, thank you so much for being on with me this Thursday morning. I hope you were blessed and challenged by this message. And man, it's powerful. I'm telling you, this is powerful. You lean into this, you begin to self-evaluate, you begin to watch your habits, you begin to look at the cycles of your life. Your get out of Egypt, like the Egyptians, the Israelites weren't in the wilderness because that's where God wanted them. They were in the wilderness because they refused to acknowledge their patterns. You don't have to stay where you are for 40 years. You can get out in 11 days. Why? If you just stop and say, this isn't God. This is me. I'm going to change it. I'm going to correct it. And watch God bring me fully into my land of promise. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed today. Have an amazing day in God. And remember, God loves you, not mad at you. And he has a wonderful plan for your life. Bye-bye for now.